99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
The world is evolving with innovation and technologies. We can only evolve by keeping up with the times. Let's talk smartphones. Let's talk artificial intelligence. Let's talk digital currencies. Let's talk NFTs. Let's talk the metaverse. Let's talk digital life. Starting in April, every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m.
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Let's talk. Hello, hello, Lagos. Hello, hello, Nigeria. Good morning and welcome to another episode of Digital Life this fine Sunday morning. I'm Yvonne Haifo and my co-presenter is here with me live and direct, Emmanuel.
Hi, Yvonne. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm Emmanuel Onka and you're all welcome to Digital Life. This is a show that airs every Sunday right here on 99.2 Nigeria Info. On this show, we help you understand the importance of technology and how it affects your quality of life. As we said, expect to learn new things every time you tune in on Sundays from 11 a.m. to 12 noon.
That's right. We also have a segment on the show that we call Gadget Review. On this segment, we introduce you to new and exciting indigenous technologies. Check area for that. Anyway, since we kicked off the data protection series three Sundays ago, we've brought you experts to help you and us also appreciate the importance of protecting our personal information online as well as offline. Chris Ijogbe is cybersecurity analyst, was our first guest, right?
Yeah, yes, it was our first guest. And then we spoke to the government, we moved on to the government, and we spoke to someone from the Nigeria Data Protection Bureau, a new agency that has just been set up to enforce Nigeria Data Protection Regulation, which actually contains the code of conduct as far as sharing or using personal or third-party information goes. You can check out the document on www.ndpb.gov.ng, www.ndpb.gov.ng. Our guest on that statement, on that segment, was actually Barrister Babatunde Bamigboye. I didn't ask you how you felt about that segment.
Well, it was eye-opening. I wish, you know, Barrister, why we just kept going on and on. Barrister, you know the date. Oh my goodness.
He couldn't even come in between. He just kept going on. He had all the information. Like, it was so nice having to talk with him. He is actually the head of legal enforcement and regulation at the NDPB, and he gave us real good insight about what they were doing and what the members of the public had to do to protect themselves.
Right. So far, just a reminder, you know, just to bring you up to speed, we've been told to not download unnecessary applications. We've also been told to clear cookies on our browsers, to not accept cookies from unpopular websites. And we've also been told, or rather warned, to stay off online games, asking us to share to friends, especially on social media. And not to mention, we've been warned to go through terms and conditions before agreeing to them. In fact, this one is very important, especially as we don't like to read. Emmanuel, do you go through terms and conditions?
I'm still not be able to go through one. So when I get to that terms and condition, when they ask me, you know, to accept them and conditions, right, I open the document and I see the whole long read. It's like 15 pages. What am I? What am I reading?
You're not preparing for jam.
Like me.
So why are they so long and cumbersome? Hopefully our guest today will tell us, because I don't know.
You know, that was one thing, Barrister Bamigoye. It's like a whole contract, you know.
Right.
Contracts are usually very long, you know, and, you know, they have terms and all the rest. So it makes the document very long and it's so much hassle to read. I think they should be reading it for us.
Right.
You know, the government should be reading it for us. Then tell us to accept which one and which one. So I'll just click accept.
Right. Anyway, we've learned quite a lot. But is there much more we can do, Emmanuel?
Of course there's much more we can do. And today we have the perfect person for it.
All right, please tell us. I'm excited.
So, Lagos, we have here right here in the studio, speaking to us and giving us more insight into the show today, into data protection and everything that concerns protecting your privacy online. We have here a hacker. How do you feel like a hacker in the studio? Like, we've all heard hacker, you know, they hacked my device. Well, I've not really had that. You know, I just had one encounter like a long time ago, you know, with a hacker. But this is the first time I'm actually, you know, meeting one again.
But Emmanuel, please let us add that he's an ethical hacker. That's very important. Wait, before they say we brought a
calm
criminal.
Down now. Calm down. We are going to say ethical. You guys should calm down.
It's the way you are romanticizing the hacker. Because wait, even myself, my mind and my heart is jumping.
Is exactly what I want.
Okay.
So yeah, we have Boma Jim Obolo in the studio, and he's a hacker. He's an ethical hacker, a white hat hacker. That's how they call it, right? White hat hacker. How are you doing today, Boma?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
You're doing great?
Yeah, thank
okay.
you.
So how do you feel being in the studio? You guys usually walk behind the scene.
You need to adjust your mic. Make sure you speak. Yeah, that's
is it,
right.
Is it better now?
Yes, it is. We can hear you
guys
better.
Usually walk behind the scene. We don't get to see your faces.
Yeah, I feel really, really like good being here today. I told her earlier that I feel really, really honored being here today.
Oh, we're glad.
So he told me that but you're a hacker. Are you gonna hack my phone? Are you gonna hack the studio?
Okay.
Anyway, so I mean, come on. How do we know when we've been hacked? How can we avoid hacking? And after having done all to avoid getting hacked, what else can we do? Right. We'll find out this right now on the show. Boma Jim Obolo. Boma, please tell me I got that right. First of all, tell us your full name, because the name is really, it's sweeting me, but I don't want to.
I think we should just better stick it to Boma.
But let him tell us the full name.
Okay, so the full name is Boma Naziba.
Boma Naziba. What does it mean?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's a whole lot of praise God.
So Boma is basically praise, then Naziba is like God. So Boma Naziba.
Wow.
I had a classmate then in secondary school, Boma. Funny story, yeah. Boma was stout, stocky, strong girl. One day we were sleeping in the hostel, and I mean, I was a late reader, so I used to study late into the night. I was more of a night, you know, worm. So I was just studying. The next thing I heard was boom. What happened? Boma had fallen from the top bunk. And I mean, the ground shook. But so, I mean, since that day, man, I'm like, Boma, anybody that bears the name Boma has to be strong.
Fun fact, yeah, I have fallen from the bunk before.
Okay. Emmanuel, did you hear that?
So it's a thing for Boma to fall from bunk. Wow, that's great. So let's get into the topic of today.
That's right.
Let's get into the topic of today. Let's just really know, what's a hacker all about? We hear hacker. What's a hacker all about?
Okay, so basically, hacking is gaining unauthorized access into someone's system, be it network, application, website. So you're gaining unauthorized access into that hacking. So, but white hacking in this case is authorized access. So for you to like be a white hat hacker, you have to get consent. That's the difference between like a white hat hacker and a black hat hacker.
Now, before we go into the difference between a white hat hacker and a black hat hacker, as you said, when we introduced you, you said that you're an ethical hacker. But before we go into the whole term about ethical hacking, so break it down for us. I have a device, right?
Yeah.
And someone just tells me I've been hacked. What does that mean?
Oh, it means your device has been exploited. That means someone has gained unauthorized access into your device. So I'm going to explain something. In information security, we have what we call the information security triad, CIA. C is for confidentiality, I is for integrity, and A is for availability. If any of these triad, if any of them are breached, then it means something is wrong with your system. Someone have gained unauthorized access into your system. So when someone says, oh, you have been hacked, that means your device, someone has gained unauthorized access into it without your consent. It could be for malicious reasons. Most times it is for malicious reasons. To steal your personal data, to learn things about you, to gain your passwords, to gain, say, your credit card information. So yeah, that's basically what it means.
So you're a white hat hacker.
Yes.
But why hacking?
Why
did you decide to go into hacking?
Okay, so security, computer security, cyber security is an interesting field. I think one of the reasons why, apart from like my educational background, one of the reasons why I got into hacking is the fact that you're like solving problems every day. You're improving people's lives, keeping like, so we have like the police to keep like your physical secret in check. And we have to have those guys also keep your digital security in check, because like we all know we are moving towards digitalization like every single day. So the satisfaction I get from like, oh, being able to protect people's systems, protect people's applications, protect people's data. Yeah, I think that was like the main motivation for like going.
Why is it so important? You know, when I spoke to you on the phone, yeah. You know, you were so particular about calling you a white hat hacker. Oga, why? Like, what's the whole rules about? You're a hacker,
What's so important? No, it is very important. I need to tell them that, oh, I am not just going to break into your system. I'm not going to do that. I have to gain consent. So you have to tell them, oh, he's a white hat hacker. Do you get? So the difference between us, we basically do the same thing. So what a black hat hacker would do, a white hat hacker can do, right? But like I earlier said, the difference is consent, which is very, very important. You have to say, you don't just like break into somebody's system.
Even if you can.
It's illegal.
Okay. Yeah.
So hacking is more like a good cop, bad cop situation playing out,
exactly,
right? Good
yes.
cop, bad cop. So you see a threat. So you try to test it to be sure that, is this thing accessible?
Yes,
or
exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
How vulnerable, though, in reality are our devices to hacking?
Depends first of all on like the system in place. For example, if you're using a mobile phone, right? You're using say iOS or you're using Android, right? Okay, we have what we call patches, or we have what we call, everybody knows, like updates, right? So in real sense, a system running on, say, iOS 11, right, would be less vulnerable than a system running on iOS 10. Why? Because improvements have been made, right? And those improvements are just not, like, to aid usability. Security is always considered when those improvements are made. So, yeah, depends on, like, what your phone is running on, what your device is running on. But the thing about it is not, we, as security guys, we always say one thing. It is not about if you be hacked, it is about when you be hacked. Everybody's hackable. That's the truth about it.
Everybody's hackable.
Yeah, everybody is hackable.
So there's
even the best security companies in the world are hackable.
Since we're talking about mobile devices, a question just popped into my mind. Which is better to be better protected? Is it an Android device or an iOS device?
Emmanuel, don't do this. Do not do
no,
this.
No, let's get there.
No Android.
No.
What's it called? Scandal. No Android slander will
be
accepted.
I am the iOS guy. She's the Android guy. So understand her pain. Understand
I'm in pain? Okay, fine. But my answer the question.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know if this is going to sound biased because I am iOS. But yeah, I'll give it to iOS. Because of
what are you giving to iOS? Yeah, but Matt, what are you giving
I'll give it to iOS because of like, they have like this very defined ecosystem, right? So with your Apple phone, it is very like easy for you to like transfer, say pictures, for example, or music from like your Android phone to someone else's Android phone, right?
Yeah.
But with Apple phones, you see like there is this like compactness when it comes to like using iOS devices. So there is this ecosystem they've already built, so it has to be Apple to Apple, or you have to maybe use like a third party application to be able to send those. And when it comes to like data transfer, there is also like possibility for exploitation, like there could be like loopholes. So when it comes to security, I would give it to
Emmanuel, hold on. So those of us that use Android devices, you know what? Now we should throw our phones into the ocean. Is that what you're trying to say? Because I'm offended.
I think you should respect authority. He's an authority.
Emmanuel.
He's an authority.
I'm also an Android authority. I own an Android device. No slander whatsoever will be accepted. So you've just talked about iOS, but for people who use Android devices, what do we do? Because it's like we're helpless. I mean, you just said that
obviously, like these phone manufacturers, they have security in place.
For instance, now a Samsung phone.
Oh, yes, Samsung phone, they have like their own security
ecosystem. Because they have that ecosystem just
like the iOS. Like the iOS, they have in place. So now you can see we are moving from like traditional pins to biometrics now.
Yeah.
You see, they are constantly like improving facial recognition, constantly improving fingerprints for authentication.
That's right.
Yeah. Phone. So you see, all these people are also like making this active. Well, the reason why I would say Android is less or more vulnerable is because it is more like open source.
How do you mean?
When I mean open source, more like free for all. Do you get free for all? iOS is built, like, you can't run, it is, except you use something called a VMware, you can't run, like, iOS, that means, like, the Apple operating systems on, like, other phones or other devices. But with the Android, it is easily, like, downloadable.
Including the new and improved versions?
Yes, to some degree, but that would, like, require, like, more expertise.
Okay, that's quite a lot of information. We've heard about email hacking, you know. We've heard about email hacking, and we heard that through email hacking, a hacker has access to a whole lot of your devices. Can you tell us more about that email hacking?
Okay, so...
Because, you know, most of the time I have people send me unsolicited mails. I know that sometimes people sell email addresses or something. I've heard something like that. I'm not very sure.
Okay, so there's something called social engineering.
Okay.
Right? So social engineering is basically like trying to psychologically like manipulate a victim to give out information that they would not like normally give out. This information are classified sensitive. It could be your passwords. Obviously, your passwords should be like for yourself, not for other people. Like, it could be your credit card credentials and all of that. So email hacking, I would like to say that is really, really rampant right now. Especially like on like organization like structure. level. So the most common technique for email hacking is called phishing. So phishing is when an attacker sends like a mail, a malicious mail. That mail could like it masquerades to be something authentic. Let's say, for example, this is Nigeria Info. You have a website, right? Say www.nigeriainfo.com. They could create, say, something similar, a website similar to www.nigerianinfo.com, then send to all Nigerian Info staff saying, hi guys, we are conducting like an internal, we want to get information about like employees, Nigerian Info.
So I have
click
to put in
this link. Yes.
Details, you know, my own personal details.
Exactly.
Thinking it's like my company asking for my details, you know. Yes, there's been an upgrade or something going on.
Exactly. So they send you like this email saying, oh, we want you to fill this form, blah, blah, blah. And then if you're not aware, you click on that link and then you start giving out details that you shouldn't give out. So that's basically what the technique they use is called phishing.
So you've just told us, I mean, you mentioned the malware, you know. I feel like you, so from the explanation you just gave, that's more or less like the process through which hacking takes place. Can you just walk us through, you know, just give us more insight into that? So what's how does it really happen?
Okay, so in a nutshell, hacking happens in 5 stages. The first stage is called reconnaissance or footprinting or information gathering. So before you gain access into a system, into a network, into somebody's mobile phone, for example, you have to gather information about that victim. Gather information which could be used against them. This information could be the person's house address, maybe spouse's phone number, children's phone number, funny enough. You gain information if it's like an organization, all the domains associated with that organization, all the IP, the internet protocol addresses associated with that organization, right? You know what IP is?
Yes.
Okay, so
but you know,
I know.
Please tell the rest of us that don't know.
Explain to
the IP address is like a numerical tag given to every device that is online, basically.
So a mobile phone, a laptop, have different IPs.
Exactly. So when you're connected to the network would not, the internet would not know you as Emmanuel, right? The internet would know you with a tag.
An IP address.
An IP address.
Okay.
So whenever you're like connected on a network, you're assigned
an IP address. Yeah. Okay.
So information gathering is that stage, which is the first stage, and it is very important. So the next stage is, they say the success of like your hacking is highly dependent on how good your information gathering stage is. So you have to gather as much information as you can about that particular subject you intend on hacking. So the next stage is the scanning stage. After you've gathered information, you start scanning. These are the IPs I've been able to obtain. These are like the domain names associated with that person, with that client. And you want to scan to see whether there are loopholes, there are tools they use for scanning. So you want to scan to see, do they have loopholes that are susceptible, that can be exploited, right? So when you find that and you say, oh, these are like the loopholes that have been found, then you move to the next stage, which is exploiting. You try to test to say, oh, this IP is open. Let me try this technique on it to see if I can gain unauthorized access.
Right.
To see if I can hack it, right?
Yeah.
Then you try it. So after you've gained access as a hacker, the next thing you want to do is to maintain access, right? That's the fourth stage of hacking. You want to maintain your access to ensure you're in total control, to ensure you're not kicked out easily, right? Then the last stage is obviously covering your track as a criminal. Yeah, you want to cover your track so that when forensics comes in, they won't be able to like find you. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's like a run through of like the entire hacking process.
So man, that's some pretty heavy stuff right there. Lagos, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Digital Live on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Yvonne Okaifo, and with me in the studio are my co-presenter Emmanuel Onwuka and Boma. Boma, please tell us that name again, because
it is Boma Jim Ogbolo.
All right, good. I wanted him to tell us the full name.
Boma Naziba.
That's what I wanted. Anyway, yes, Boma is a hacker, an ethical hacker, a white hat hacker. Mm-hmm. On Digital Life, we'll help you better understand the world of technology. And right now, Boma is helping us understand the world of hacking.
So right now, Lagos, if you listen to us and you have questions for Boma, or you have an experience that you encountered, you know, you were hacked, your devices were accessed, you know, without your permission, and you want to share those information with us, what you can do is to call us on 01-277-0993, and 01-277-2993. And for women alone, you can call us on 01-465-7190.
Now, if for whatever reason village people decide to play on the phone lines, you're unable to reach us, okay? You
can
call us on WhatsApp. Call us on send us a message on WhatsApp or drop a voice note, but better yet, send us a message on WhatsApp 080-959-75805. That is 080-959-75805. We've got calls coming in. Hello.
Yes, Evon.
Good morning. Welcome to Digital Life. What's
you
your name?
You want to call the other night? I said, no, don't go there.
I mean, that's why I said he should do it, because I don't want to murder the name for him.
I'm telling you, Boma is a strong girl. There's one Boma I know too. Very strong girl. I'm telling you, right. They are strong people. I think God made them that way.
So have you been hacked before?
Emmanuel Onwuka.
Yes, I can hear you. Have you been hacked?
No, but you know all these funny things like Bumadia. I don't know what we are looking for. Shokoto is in our Shokoto. What you get?
Mm-hmm.
With what we are going through in this country, at least the people in charge should get to Buma and let him help us out. This is Christopher Onwuka, Emmanuel Onwuka.
Hopefully Buma is already working. He's maybe not working with the government, but he's already working with companies and organizations associated with the people to ensure that your information are kept safe. Those that are in, you know, with them, they are not illegally accessed.
That's right. Let's take another call. Hello, 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is Digital Live. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
Okay. 99.3. How are you? Good morning.
Have you been hacked before?
Ambrose calling you from Ajah, Lagos.
Ambrose, thank you for calling. Have you been hacked before?
No, at all. Not at all. I've not been hacked. I have a friend that has been hacked, actually. But the question I want to ask is that why is it that we always wrongfully using black and white something? People will say black hacker and white hacker.
You mean black hat?
Why do you normally use black as negative? Where you people know that our color in Africa is black. White people.
Okay, Ambrose. We didn't mean for you to take you to the race area, but in this case, Boma, Biko, answer this question because I don't know.
To be honest, yeah. I have thought about that thing myself.
Right. But I think it's just what I think it's just a universal thing. Okay, we know black stands for, you know, anything that
No. Maybe we should be saying devil hacker and angel hacker. maybe that will work. Hello, 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Good morning. I am Emmanuel calling from Adamu.
Emmanuel, welcome to Digital Life. Have you been hacked before?
I had a horrible experience 2nd of April.
Wow. This year?
Yes.
Ooh, sorry about that.
So that's my Facebook account anyway. There was nothing important about that account, just that it is a platform where I express myself on the socio-political development in Nigeria. Unfortunately for me, there was a group I joined on Facebook where our phone numbers were requested, which I did drop mine. And of course, on this fateful day, 2nd of April, I was actually at a particular place, very noisy. And a message came into my phone. Following was a call that a code was sent to me that I should just give out that code irrespective of the number I dropped to be added to a group, which I did. Dear. Not too long, a friend of mine just called me that my Facebook account had been hacked.
Wow.
Boma, anything to say.
And I've tried my possible best. Nothing too important. I've tried. Unfortunately for me, I can't remember my password.
Wow.
However, the idiot, so to say now, the black hacker, so to say, now change every information to his. So I don't have access to that Facebook account. I don't know if your guest there can help me on what to do so I can actually have my Facebook account.
Okay, thank you very much. Boma, we're having a conversation before we came into the studio, and we talked about the social media, you know, social media accounts hacking, and we're going to get there in the next phase of this interview. But since he brought it up,
hold on, let's not rush it. Let's take our time. Emmanuel, Boma will get to that question. I'm talking to both of you, Emmanuels. Boma will get to that, but let's take another call. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to Digital Live. What's your name? Where are you calling us from?
My name is Samaga.
Okay.
Yes, I would like to ask Boma a question.
Okay.
Hi, Boma.
Yeah,
you said that Android is more susceptible to, you know, to being hacked or to unauthorized access because it's open source, right?
Yeah.
Yes, but I know that Linux operating system is also open source. But how come Linux is open source and secure?
Okay.
But Android is open source and unsecure.
Okay, so yeah, thank
yes,
you.
And thanks for clarifying the meaning of your name. When they sing Boma, Boma, Boma. Now I understand what it actually means.
Okay, yeah, so Linux basically was built for security. Right? The Linux operating system was built for security. So obviously,
it's a well fortified,
exactly. So we have different operating systems. We are like very like conversant with Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every computer, Windows. We have iOS, right, for Mac and stuff. Mm-hmm. We have Linux. So Linux was definitely like built for security. So that's the difference between like the Linux and the Android. Even though Linux is open source, right, we have plenty open source operating system. We have Ubuntu and the likes. Linux was built for security, so it is well fortified.
So how come we have two very popular operating systems? Okay, I won't add Windows to it because people don't take Windows. They just see Windows on their
computer
system,
yes.
You know? But how come we have two operating systems that is quite popular among mobile devices? Can't we have
more? There are others?
No, we can. Like back in the days, we used to have Symbian. We had the BlackBerry operating system, right? I think it's just about like these players like knowing what the market wants. So if you're using if you are say you are into mobile phone manufacturing, right, you want to give users like value for their money, right? Usability, people want better aesthetics while they're like operating their phones. People want, I'm able to access say 1 million applications on that operating system store, like
right.
For the what they're calling it. For Android devices, we have the Google Play Store, right? Mm-hmm. For the Apple devices, we have the Apple Store.
Yeah.
Right? So, you want to, like, it depends on the players, the industry players. Right. So we can definitely have more. If you come up with your own operating system, I have a very good you have a very good marketing strategy to penetrate the market.
Probably that's something we can look into, because I think if we have more operating system, we already understand the challenges that Android and iOS presently have, and that the ones that, you know, hackers, I know that people are constantly going to test the system, trying to penetrate the system. But if, since you have that information, you have that knowledge right now, so we can create an operating system that every one of us can, you know, that would be tailored to our needs presently. Because what we need right now is security, especially that Nigeria is moving to the next level. 5G is here already. Yeah. You understand? So more persons are coming on board the digital space, and there's need for security. It means that your salary is about to be improved.
Emmanuel, please, let's take some messages.
But yeah, so there are a couple of messages here. This one, you didn't write your name here, but you said, good morning, all. Can I get a repeat broadcast of this hacking? Yes, there's good news for you. It's going to be up on Nigeria.
The podcast.
Nigeriainfo.fm. On our podcast site. So we'll leave that information with you. If you can go to Nigeria Info social media handles, we're going to drop that information for you as well there. This one says, just yesterday I received a notification from WhatsApp that someone tried to register my WhatsApp number on their device.
Look,
what's the implication for me both now and in the future? David from Ibafo.
I think it's time to enter this, to delve into this social media hacking.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So first of all, I'd like to say, no social media hacking is successful without the user's input, without the victim's input, right? So it is either like the other case of phone number, right?
Yeah.
It's just, they probably sent OTP, one-time password, to the person's phone number, requesting to change password, and this person was unaware and he gave out that OTP, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to say, without your own input, social media hacking cannot be successful. So for this particular question, ignore.
Mm. Yes. So David, you're hearing that you should ignore that message on your phone. Ignore the message, don't reply it. This one says, good afternoon, what should we guide against hacking? I can't see this message very well. They say, what should we guide against HTTP without S in seeking information with respect to hacking? HTTP without S. I've heard that S stands for security on HTTP.
Yes.
Chris told us about that.
Yes, and he told us about that cute little padlock always attached.
Why
to
are you
the,
calling the padlock cute?
Because it's cute, Emmanuel, leave me alone. Yes.
So that's basically encryption in place, right? So HTTP is Hypertext Transfer Protocol, right? It's a way we use like access information online.
Okay.
So for every website, we have the domain. So a website is, let's say we're in this room, right? And you need to get like a document. I could say, go to file cabinet, say A21. Then you go there, you open it, and then you collect the document, right?
Yeah.
So that's basically how the web works. So for you to like access something on the web, you have to go through URL, Uniform Resource Locator. So that's basically like, that cabinet in this room. So I want to like, say, I want to get information about Britney Spears, for example, right? When I Google search and then I see that link, that's the URL, that's the Uniform Resource Locator, that's pointing me to information about Britney Spears, right? So now, HTTP is unsecure, right? HTTPS was developed to make it secure. So I'm going to explain, and I'm going to try not to be too technical.
Please right? try. Please, yeah. please try.
So yeah, so in security, we have something called cryptography.
Now you're being technical. What does that mean?
I'm going to explain. So cryptography is trying to, should I say, I'm trying to use... trying to replace the word encryption, right? It's trying to mask, like invisible information so that it won't be visible for other people to see.
So like those things we used to do, those days, say, do you decode?
Yes.
You know, that kind of thing. Okay. Yes.
So let's say you have a text, Emmanuel, right? I don't want you to know this is Emmanuel, right? With cryptography now, I am going to encrypt it. That means I'm going to mask that word Emmanuel. I could just twist it, use one algorithm, use one method, and then this word, I change Emmanuel to say 1J5KH, and I send it to you, right? You don't know this is Emmanuel.
Right.
Now for you to know this is Emmanuel, you have to decrypt it. That means you have to now decode that 1H5K, whatever I have sent to you, and that would require me to give you a key, right? When you put in that key, that word is going to be revealed. So that 1-8 whatsoever I send to you will be changed to Emmanuel. So that's basically what, that's the difference between HTTP and HTTPS. Now HTTPS, we have applied a cryptographic algorithm to it called SSL, TSL, SSL, SSL. So once you impute, once you put that to HTTP, it makes it more secure. So if you are going to like perform transactions over the internet, like say pay for a bag you want to purchase on like Jumia or something, right? You should always check if that thing is secure, right? That's when you see the padlock. So HTTPS is just like a more secure way of like
accessing
stuff on the internet. Yes.
Speak directly to the mic. Yeah.
So it's like a more secure way of like accessing stuff from the internet.
So I have a question for you now, because if a lot of us don't have the time and the patience to actually check out those websites, you know, especially
speak for yourself. I do, especially when my money is concerned, Boma. I take it very, I make sure I look for that cute little padlock. HTTPS.
So this is Yvonne speaking. I and Lagos, we're on one side, and we are telling you that a lot of us do not usually have the time, especially when it's on our mobile, you know, we especially when we are redirected from a page to another one, we don't have the time to check those things out, you know, check that detail if it ends with an S or it doesn't end with an S. We're just being enlightened by this program, you know, by the way. But is there a way we can configure our phones, is there a way we can configure our browsers to not give access or give us access to a site that is or just alert us immediately we access a site that doesn't carry the S?
My phone actually does that. If I go to a site that is not secure, it tells me.
Is it an Android phone, please?
It's a Samsung.
So tell us, Boma.
Yeah, so by default, today, most browsers, right, they are configured to do that. So they tell you, especially like when you're about to like perform like something sensitive, it pops up and it tells you, oh, this is not secure. Do you want to proceed? Right? So yeah, by default, it is like always there for browsers.
Okay, I know my browser. I don't get that prompt sometimes
because your iOS phone is not. It's not really that powerful. Now move on, please. What's the next question on WhatsApp? iOS. Read another message, Jare.
Samsung is a great phone.
Oh yeah,
I'm a huge fan of Samsung.
But of course,
when it comes to technology,
check it into that.
When it comes to technology, I'll give it to Samsung.
Okay, I won't get into a fight because I know that Android they have the multitude.
We have one more call. Then Emmanuel, one more message. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Digital Life.
I'm Osman.
Welcome.
I want to ask your guests over there, please. I want to know, how do I identify the real sites from the hackers on? Hello?
Yeah, we're with you.
We're with you.
Yes, I have to identify, like, as a student, for instance, now from in your email, you now see something from your school. I want to input, you are asked to put your matric number. If it has been hacked, how do you know that this one is not from the school and this one belongs to the hacker? That is what I just want to know. Thank you
Usmani.
Okay, well, thank you Usmani. So yeah, right now in security, so like as a security consultant, we usually like sensitize people to conduct for organizations to sensitize them to conduct like phishing training, like I had explained earlier.
Yes.
So yeah, the first thing to do is if you're sent a link and you're unsure if this link is from my school, right? The best thing to do is to contact the school to say, oh, was this mail actually sent by you or from you, right? Another thing is look at the URL. If your school is University of Ibadan, for example, right? If they are going to, their domain name is going to have some elements about like University of Ibadan, it's either University of Ibadan, UI, and all of that. If you're saying, say, University of II Ibadan, for example, right?
Those tiny changes.
Yeah, so you also have to like keep your eye on ground. If you're saying like, or maybe you're saying www..
Two dots.
Yes.
That one is more difficult to spot though, because dots are very tiny, you know.
Yeah, or you're saying www.1 Badon.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay, you just don't see it. You don't just notice it.
Because we're always in a hurry. Exactly. We like to rush in this country. Let's be calming down.
It's not even about the rush. Sometimes it's redirected.
Redirection. Yes.
Most times, I think. I don't know. You're the expert.
It's redirected. And another thing is, you can use like online tool to like check up to say, oh, you can. There is a tool, domain name lookup. So once you have a link, you just copy that link and you paste it on domain name lookup, and then it's going to give you information about like that particular domain to see who is the owner of this domain. If it is owned by your school, University of Ibadan, then it is going to say, oh, this is owned by University of Ibadan, this is IP, this is who is managing it and all of that. So you can like get all those information. Those tools are like free online. But I would always recommend, when you get a link and you're unsure, if it wasn't like communicated to you before that link was sent, the best thing to do is contact like the authorities in charge. Right. Say, oh, I was sent this. Is this authentic or not? Before you proceed.
Okay. So before we go in, let me ask a question. When we're talking about social media accounts, you told me earlier that it's impossible to get back a social media account, like an Instagram or Facebook account that has been hacked.
Yes.
Can you speak more on that? Because I'm sure a lot of persons,
besides the caller also said talked about that. Trying to get back his account.
Yes.
So yeah, like I would explain earlier, social media hacking is usually done by social engineering. Phishing is a type of social engineering.
Okay.
You can see sometimes, I don't know if you like ever someone has told you before, my sister is contesting for pageantry, I'd like you to vote for something.
Right,
and then
yes.
send you a link on Instagram.
Right? I usually don't pay attention to those.
Exactly. So sometimes they come off as, oh, they just send, hi, this is like maybe your friend. The person's account had been hacked. Mm. Person just sent, hi, can you help me like vote? I'm contesting for so. And then you click the link and then it takes you to another place and then you sign in your information.
Oh, wow.
Right? You put in your username, your Instagram username. You put in your Instagram password. Now, when you do that, whatsoever you've stored is going to be stored in your back end. So now when they have like, oh, they say, this is your username, this is your password. As an attacker, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to log in on your behalf with my own mobile. And then I change every single credential that is associated with that account, be it your phone number, be it your email address. And once you can change the phone number and email address to yours, you lose total control. So that's why I said it is technically impossible. Even Instagram might not be able to help you, because now the phone number, which is like very important, that is tied to that particular account, or the email address tied to that particular account, has been compromised. It has been changed. So you do not like have ownership over that account again. So it is impossible to say for you to regain the account. The best thing to do is try to negotiate.
With a hacker?
Yes, to tell them, oh, I'm going to pay you this amount, can I get it back?
So you send a message, like you use somebody else's phone and send a message to them, that's your same account.
Yes.
That must be horrible.
I mean, that's a very cold, I'm shaking in my spirit, because Boma, you just explained something really dark. Like, that's dark.
Yeah, they do.
Especially when a person has, you know, the person got the account and has been building followers for quite a long time. Probably you have it as a business profile. Let's use a business now. So you have a business page, a social media business page, an Instagram business page, and you've been genuinely building followers, organic followers, all up to like 12K, up to 15K, and you're getting a lot of orders and stuff, and then somebody is able to hack that account.
It's devastating.
It's devastating. And you're saying negotiate?
But my, which brings me to, before we even get to that place where we have to negotiate, what can we do to prevent that from ever happening?
So yeah, for you to protect your social media, our advice, first of all, two-factor authentication. So right, two-factor authentication, that means just like the name, you have two levels of authentication. Authentication is you trying to validate this is who you are. So if you say my Instagram handle is Uncle Boma, for example, right? How can Instagram tell that this is Uncle Boma? My password, right? Then when I input my password, there is a next level of like verification. Maybe a phone call from Instagram saying, hi, impute this code 85261. Then you impute it. Or a text message from Instagram. So that's two-factor authentication. So I'll advise every single one to use two-factor authentication on all their social media handles, accounts. So in case your username, your password has been compromised, when they want to like change the password, they'll still require a second input, and that will be sent to your phone number.
Can we have it that, you know, because I remember I'm trying to download some apps, you know, I'll be very careful after we had that conversation with Chris. I tried to get some download some apps on my iOS, and one thing I found out was that while I was trying to do it, they asked for facial recognition first. So I double tapped on the power button and it took facial recognition of me before it gave me access to download the app. So can't we have that for, say, Instagram and Facebook? Do you think that would be a better authentication?
Yeah, that would be definitely. So they're like, Instagram, those applications, I don't think they have like implemented something like that.
No, they haven't.
But they're like third-party applications they use. And our advice, if you're ever going to download a third-party application, ensure that it is from a trusted source. If you're using Apple, download from Apple Store. If you're using iOS, download from Google Play.
When you say third-party applications, that is close to the Instagram application. So we're talking about Instagram repost apps?
Yes, those are like third parties.
Right.
Yeah. Instagram repost apps.
Applications, yeah.
Instagram video downloader, stuff like that.
Exactly.
Emmanuel, do you use two-factor authentication?
I'm going to start using it from today.
Look at you. Just look.
Another thing people fail to... people always miss is password. So I'm going to explain. So a lot of people are like very used to using common passwords, maybe tying their date of birth, putting their names, something very common as their passwords. So in security, there's something called brute forcing. Brute forcing is you trying to like guess a user's
Please say
password.
That again.
Brute forcing. Yeah. So you're trying to like you're just basically trying different passwords.
So it's like a guess game.
Guess game to see if it could work. If you have some like, say, certain information about somebody, you've interacted with them before, you can maybe try to understand like their thought patterns and all of that. And you can say, oh, this person likes this, this person is friends with this, this date is very symbolic to this person. Let me try something. So if you're going to use passwords, try to use strong passwords. Whenever we are told to like sign up for applications, you see in suggestions, they say, oh, use uppercase, use lowercase, use special characters, use numbers.
Okay, so that's just to make them less predictable.
Exactly. So let me give you an example. If I'm going to create a password, say Workers Day as my password, right? I could start with like a capital letter W, then instead of like O, I'll use like zero, then instead of like a small letter R, I create like capital letter R, K, then instead of E, I'll use number 3, right? Then I use a small letter R, then I use, instead of S, I use like 5, then instead of like D, capital letter D, I use a small letter D, then instead of like the A, I use like @.
Okay,
I use Y. So these are like ways you can like just make a password like less predictable.
But Mark, there's this question that's been on my mind, right?
Yeah.
Since we're talking about hacking and all that, let's talk about this. Are deleted files really deleted, or do they just go into one cloud and hide somewhere? Because, Boma, honestly, a lot of us have had scandalous things on our phones, you know? A lot of us have had scandalous things on our phones.
I just need water.
You're one of them, right?
No. I just said I need water. So I didn't say anything.
Boma, the question is, when I delete, I know that when we delete a file, it goes to the recycle bin. Yeah. But when you finally permanently delete it, whether it's on your mail or wherever, does it really stay permanently deleted?
No.
Wow. So that hurts me.
So yeah, people into digital forensics, right? We have forensics. You know what forensics is? There is a crime, come and investigate, right? So we also do that, cyber forensics, digital forensics. They have tools that they can use to like recover deleted items. So in your storage, say your hard drive, you're using, depending on the technology, you're using SSD, solid state hard drive, or you're using hard disk drive. Let's say you have a computer with like 500 gig, right? That computer is not necessarily 500 gig. There is more to it. So there is like a virtual like part of that storage that is not accessible. So I'll try to not be too technical. When you save a file, say it is 2 megabytes, you have like this compartment, 500 gig, right? So in this 500 gig, it is stored on this block. When you save 5 megabytes, it is stored on the next block. When you save 1 gigabyte, it is stored on the next block. Now, when you delete this 1 gigabyte, right, it is removed from this block, then it is stored in another place in that storage that is not accessible. That you, like, once you plug in your hard disk drive, or even like the ones like installed on your computer, you won't be able to access it no matter what you do, and you need like more advanced tools to be able to do that. So yeah, when you delete files, they're not like just, they don't do that.
They're eradicated completely.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there is a space in memory that you cannot access, or it is kept there.
So this whole talk about privacy is just a mirage. Is that what you're saying?
No, it is not.
Because that's how I feel. Like, if I delete something, it should stay deleted, like permanently.
Exactly. Like,
you know,
it means that it could, if someone who has the knowledge and the skill should be able to access my phone, you know. I'm a gunner.
It's to go and throw that phone into the ocean.
I don't think people, like, see, the truth about it is, I don't think people want to go through that stress. Like, it is a lot of work. It's really like when it comes to like mobile security, it is a lot of work. I don't think people want to go through
what
that.
What about laptop security? You said mobile desktop, Unko.
So, in my own opinion, I think that is it. Mobile security, I think, if I'm going to rate it, I think it is easier to like break into like desktop computers, laptop computers than
mobile security. Really?
Really? That's the first. I've always felt, you know, mobile security is even more accessible than, you know, desktop and laptop.
So for desktop security, what would be your general advice? What would you advise before we come to mobile security? Mm. Because you just told us now that if we like, we should keep doing ourselves, that the laptops that we are using are not as safe as our mobile phones. So what do we do?
Okay, so the first thing, we had this conversation.
Yeah.
The first thing is, be careful of the network you connect to. Very important. A lot of people like free stuff. You go out, you see free Wi-Fi, and then you want to connect. Oh, let me connect. But then you could be spoofed.
What does that mean?
So spoofing is, okay, before I go into spoofing proper, I'm going to explain something. So I'm sure you guys have heard of like VPN, right?
Yeah, VPN.
Yeah, virtual private network. So virtual private network is a way of creating a private network within a public network. In that way, you are masking your IP address. When you're connected to a network, you have a numerical tag that is given to that your device.
Yeah, you explained earlier.
Yeah, which is the IP address. Mm. So now, with VPN, that your numerical tag is being masked. So someone will not necessarily like see your original IP address, right? So now, in the case of spoofing, if you are connected to an unsecure network, right? Spoofing is basically, they are sniffing your information like through your IP. And that could, if I have like, I have your IP address. This IP is connected to this network. I could like try to scan that IP to see if this IP is exploitable, to see what are the potential vulnerabilities that could be associated with this IP. So do you get? So I would always advise people, do not always connect to every free Wi-Fi you see. If you're going to do that, then you have to do it with a VPN, because that's like another level of security it's going to give to your device. Then number two is, be careful of who you give your password to. Right? A lot of people, even me, I fall victim of that. Everybody must have done this once in a while. They say, what's your password? And you say, my password is 45621. That's a very bad practice.
Especially when you're in a relationship. Please go on.
Why does it have to be a relationship?
No,
what kind of relationship?
We always do it, in relationships, because, it shows your level of trust to the person, you understand?
What if it's your husband or your partner? Are you saying that I should not tell my partner?
Answer the question, please. Yeah? I would not want to include myself in this. Please answer it.
Are you saying I should not share my password with my partner?
Well, that is...
be careful.
You guys have to talk about that. Be careful of who you give out your password to, because they could use it against you. Then another thing is, obviously, ensure like your devices, you always have like antiviruses. they really help you to like check for malware.
But those things are not free now. They tell you they will tell you give you free one for free. Vona, there's a lot going on in this country.
Nothing good is free.
Well, you're right.
Yeah, so yeah, get antiviruses. Always ensure that you update your operating system. Like they release Windows, for example, Microsoft, there's something called Patch Tuesday. They release patch Monday. They release every 2 weeks, release patches. So you just try to like patch up your systems because these operating systems are constantly improved.
Right.
Like I said earlier, not just usability, not just to give you like a better feel of like the operating system. Security is always considered when these improvements are made.
Mm.
So always ensure that you patch your systems. You do periodic updates. Then another thing is download applications from secure sites.
Right.
Yeah, because we download pictures, we download videos from like a lot of sites. Most torrent sites are not even secure. And people, but you just want to watch a movie, right?
What of F movies? Is that secure? First move, F movies, uncle.
That was the streaming sites now.
But is it secure?
It's not.
Wow.
That's why a lot of organizations would block out torrents. Apart from them wanting you to be productive
at work.
Yeah, it could also like be a potential threat.
So my phone now is under threat like this. Let's take one more call. Hello. Hello.
Yeah, hello, guys.
Welcome to Digital Life. What's your name?
Shomaga.
Oh, Shomaga. Yes, he called back, yes.
Yes. Okay, I would like to ask Boma. I use a Mac, and I also use Windows sometimes.
Mm.
And several times on my Windows, I've had some ransomware attack, malware attacks, but I've never had it on my Mac. And I have an antivirus on my Windows, but I have none on my Mac. Why is that? Why is that so?
Okay, so like I said earlier, a lot of us, we download applications from like untrusted sources. You want to download, say, and we use crack a lot. People don't want to pay for software. I'm sure, I don't know, maybe
because there's school fees to pay for, there's house rent to pay for. Software is the last thing I'm thinking about.
Yeah, you want like maybe a photo editor, and it'll be like Photoshop or something, and then you just go online to download crack. Those things could come with like malware attached to them. So let me explain. There's a type of malware, for example.
Oh, Maui, you have just 30 seconds to explain. We're running out of time.
Okay. So yeah, it's like that with Windows, because with iOS now, with the Apple device, you are downloading from like majorly one source. But with the Windows device, you have like variety of sources, and most of them are like untrusted, most of them are like unsecure. So that's why most times you would see like these ransomware attacks, these malware attacks with the Microsoft device, with the Windows device. Yeah.
I'd love to take another call, but I mean, on the clock, it's 11:59. Guys, we have to go. Boma, I would love to have you back some other time. And
like,
I'm sure.
Some other time.
This has been such a wonderful conversation.
I have lots of questions here. I have lots of questions here. I'm sure Lagos, you know.
Lagos has a lot. The phone lines are buzzing. messages coming through. We're sorry, guys, but we have to go right now. I'm Yvonne Okhaifo. Find me on social media, Yvonne Okhaifo, everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
My name is Emmanuel Onka, and find me on Facebook. Just on Facebook, Emmanuel Onka.
Boma, where can we find you?
Instagram.
Uncle, I'm going to follow you right now.
Yeah, Uncle_Boma.
Uncle. You are really an uncle because anyway, Lagos, that's the show today. Thank you for listening. Until we come your way again next Sunday, it is bye-bye from us.